Here's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN hockey insider. Is it feeling nostalgic in Toronto for you, Pierre? Like this is kind of 04, 05-ish for you or what?
It's not 18-wheeler yet, is it? I could tell from your tweets over the weekend you think it is, Brian. But
yeah, I'm losing my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's not good. It's
feeling nostalgic because I'm literally standing on the red carpet at the Hockey Hall of Fame right now. That's why it's feeling nostalgic. But
okay.
No, I don't very often wade into this Leafs thing myself, but I tweeted Saturday night they look like a mess.
Yeah.
And that's not good. I will say for those asking, I mean, I don't know that anyone has a button on a trigger right now. I think the sense right now in the organization is to just, you know, persevere and get through this right now. But having said that, you know, at some point this season, if this doesn't turn around, it does obviously make you wonder. And the one thing that I found interesting and, you know, judging on social media guys, and I don't know if you guys picked up on this too, is that clearly Mike Babcock is the target of a lot of the criticism, but it's the first time that I can remember since Kyle Dubas has been named GM that he got thrown into a lot of it too over the weekend in terms of the level of angst from Leafs fans. And I mean, listen, I do think it should be just more than just Mike Babcock. I think the core players on his team have to be asked tough questions. The coaching staff and the GM. You know, they have fumbled the backup goalie situation so far. They made a lot of changes, in particular to their blue line, and they're not a very good defensive team. And at times, they don't look like a team that has a lot of pushback when the game gets physical. So, listen, all these things can change over time. And, in fact, sometimes you go through this kind of adversity, and if you're able to get out on the other side of it, you're better than ever for it. And that's still an option for them as well.
Pierre, I know you're probably not going to get a lot out of Leafland, but you know, our managers, like right around now when you're at the 20-game mark, teams are starting to realize what they have. Do you sense maybe a little bit more chatter and trade talk or at least some motion? I know certain players have been put on waivers. Corey Schneider got put on waivers. But ultimately, are you sensing any maybe increased chatter as we head towards that new U.S. Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I do sense some increased chatter, Noodles. I think the difficult thing is that if you go up on cap-friendly and look at the number of teams that have about 25 cents to spare, it makes it a lot more difficult. I mean, this is one of the worst years I can remember for teams that are in LTIR or right at the cap, which really ties your hands. And I will tell you something else that a GM told me earlier this year, and I don't know if this particular GM is going to live up to this sentiment, but one of the things that he said to me is he's usually a guy that after U.S. Thanksgiving wants to make a move or two, but that the Blues doing what they did last year, he was going to promise himself to be more patient than he's been before with his group. And I think that's easier said than done, depending on which market you're in. But that is an interesting thing. And the reason I bring that up, you guys mentioned Vegas. You know, I'll tell you right now, the coaching staff and management Vegas haven't been terribly happy with their season. I mean, they feel that their team has been quite inconsistent, and last night was really the first great game they've played in a while. And Nashville started out gangbusters in October. Look at where Nashville is right now. They're tied with San Jose, the team that we all buried a month ago. That team's won six in a row. My point is, more than ever, this league is everyone's tied. And so you think things are bad right now in Toronto, and they are. But in terms of falling behind or teams that are playing well being that far ahead, it just isn't the case. Like, there's just a whole lot of everyone hanging around the same area. And because of that, I think it does give you pause for thought before you start making big changes.
With Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider, what are you hearing on Tyson Barry, his camp, how he feels about his situation in Toronto?
I haven't heard a whole lot, to be honest, Brian. I mean, the thing I would say about that is that if you're Tyson Barry, I can't imagine that you probably think this is a great fit. If for no other reason than if I'm a team that has Tyson Barry, I look at Tyson Barry and I say this, what is the best thing he does? I'm pretty sure it's quarterbacking a power play. I think you guys would agree. And that just hasn't been there for him for the most part. because Morgan Riley's excellent at doing that too. And, you know, why do you think Colorado traded Tyson Berry?
Kale
McCarr has come on the scene, yeah. So the one thing I would say about, you know, his acquisition and his usage is that it surprised me a bit that, I mean, if I were the Leafs, I would have done this a couple of weeks ago, and I know I'm getting into coaching here, which I shouldn't do, but, you know, Morgan Riley gets used in every situation imaginable, and I think that would be a way to dole his minutes back and do some load management to hand over the reins to the power play to Barry and keep Morgan Riley for all the other situations. I know that's hard to do, eh? Because Morgan Riley was unbelievable doing it last year. But, and it's something that obviously he likes doing. I mean, what player doesn't like to pick up his points? But that is one thing that I have found interesting so far this year. If you're going to trade for a guy like Tyson Berry, I think you have to use him in a position where you know he can succeed. And to me, part of that is what he did for many years in Colorado, which is quarterbacking the first power play.
You're down at the Hall of Fame, and every year is special. Every year the inductees go in and they get their moment, if not moments, in the spotlight. But this has felt unique because it's been Haley Wickenheiser's weekend, which I think is very deserved, clearly. How cool has that been, and what's the vibe like down there?
Yeah, it's frenetic. You know, everyone's starting to come in, and you're seeing people that you haven't seen in a while, and you're bang on at Haley Wickenheiser. It's funny, my 10-year-old daughter plays hockey, and she said she had forgotten who this year's class was, and she said to me this weekend, and as I said, I was working Monday night at the Hall, and she said, well, who's the headliner this year? I said, Haley Wickenheiser. And when you saw the face on her, it spoke so much to the impact that a weekend like this has for so many, you know, girls playing hockey, but frankly, boys and girls playing hockey in terms of the impact that Haley Wickenheiser has had on our country in the game. And I do think it's terrific. And listen, this is not a disrespect to Sergei Zubov and Keith Arbuteau and Vaclav Nedelmansky. It's just the fact that the headliner is Haley Wickenheiser this year. And I think it's an amazing thing for all kinds of reasons.
Enjoy it down there, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Salut, mon ami.
All right, go Cowboys.
Pierre LeBrun, our Hockey Insider.